Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, May 22nd, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Governor Sean Parnell left Southeast Alaska project funding intact when he signed the capital budget yesterday. But he blocked the transfer of money from one older project to another. The legislature's capital budget called for taking $5 million out of $17 million set aside for a cruise ship dock in Hoonah. Lawmakers transferred that money to a planned aquatic center in Sitka. During an Anchorage press conference, Parnell said it was a bad idea.
That dock is still needed. That the growth in passenger traffic, travel industry traffic, is creating jobs in Hoonah right down to our high school age level. And that money needs to stay there so that they can continue to build their economy there.
He says it's unfair to let one town, quote, rob another of its capital project funding. Sitka's Aquatic Center, which has other funding, will be part of the state-run Mount Edgecombe High School. Money for the Hoonah's dock was in the 2011 capital budget, and Hoonah's municipal government and the local Icy Strait Point tourist attraction have clashed over its location. Parnell's budget director, Karen Rehfeld, said the project is still on track.
The mayor and others have been in touch with us to let us know that they are actually doing some of the geotechnical work now, and that it is moving forward. And clearly, if the $5 million had been reappropriated from the project for another community's project, they simply would not be able to move forward with it.
The governor did allow $2 million from the dock project to be transferred to the Hoonah Health Center. The Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium facility needs matching funds to begin construction of a new building. Rehfeld said Hoonah leaders told her office they support that change, and since it was in the same community, the governor kept it in the budget. A Sitka man and his 14-year-old son are hoping to convince you that genetically modified organisms are bad for your health and for the environment. Agriculture companies modify the DNA of plants that enter the food supply to help them grow faster or bigger. Brett and David Wilcox are channeling their opposition into a demonstration in Sitka this weekend. But as KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, they're also hoping a big journey next year will help bring attention to their cause.
The plan, says David Wilcox, is simple.
We're going to be running across the country.
14-year-old David and his 52-year-old father, Brett, plan to go from west to east across the lower 48.
We're starting somewhere in California, and we haven't really thought of an ending point yet.
Yes, and we plan to run through St. Louis, the headquarters of Monsanto.
That is the older Wilcox, Brett, and he's talking about the agribusiness giant Monsanto. The St. Louis company has become a lightning rod for the debate over genetically modified food. Among other things, it markets modified seeds to farmers. The seeds are patented, and the farmers who keep extra seeds for replanting can find themselves taken to court. That bothers Brett Wilcox, but his bigger worry is about the environmental impact of genetically modified food. He says his spiritual beliefs are opposed to modified organisms, but also that he has unanswered questions about their scientific safety.
We're going to gather seeds from the world, and we're either going to have them in a backpack and we're going to carry them as we cross the country, or if we get so many seeds that we have to put them in a trailer and pull them behind us, we will do that. And those seeds will be the symbol for the run, saying that this is why we are running. This is the purpose. We are here to say that we honor these sacred seeds, and we don't want people messing with them.
Monsanto is no stranger to the criticisms. The company has an extensive website built entirely to respond to common arguments people make against its practices. One page is titled, "Why Does Monsanto Sue Farmers Who Save Seeds?" The company says it's simply protecting its patents. Another is titled, "Farmer Suicides in India," and denies claims that modified cotton has driven farmers on the subcontinent to kill themselves. Messages we left with Monsanto were not returned. The history of agriculture is full of developments in technology, things that have increased the amount of food farmers were able to send to plates. Tractors replaced horses, fertilizers boosted crops. But Brett Wilcox says what Monsanto and other companies are doing is different.
What they are producing is not meant to feed the growing population. It's meant to feed cars and cattle. And very, very, very little of the research is designed to do anything that would provide any sort of enhanced nutrition. It's all designed to give them a patent, a legal hold on seeds, so that farmers are then brought into a modern-day slavery system.
Brett Wilcox says farmers have become too beholden to Monsanto, so he and David are preparing for their run.
David has done two half marathons, and he's going to do another half this summer. He'll do his first full marathon this summer for Sitka's inaugural full marathon, so we're excited about that coming up on August 3rd.
Brett is 52, and he also runs marathons, although he says he did not come to running until his 40s.
I kind of grew up with the belief that that I didn't have the heart to run, and I found out that that's not true. I do fine running. I enjoy it. So I've done a couple of marathons, and it helps keep me relatively sane.
The two Wilcoxes plan to leave on their journey sometime in January. They estimate it will take about 8 months. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Wilcox is calling his demonstration in Sitka the March Against Monsanto. It coincides with the other similar events around the world and is scheduled for 2 p.m. Saturday atop Castle Hill. You can link to information on both sides of the debate through this story on our website, kcaw.org. Forest researchers in Juneau finally have a permanent home. U.S. Forest Service officials and representatives from the Native community celebrate the completion of the long-awaited Juneau Forestry Sciences Lab over the weekend. It's part of the Pacific Northwest Research Station. Matt Miller has more from the dedication that also featured the raising of Tlingit house posts.
Hoo-ha! 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 Hoo-ha!
Two groups of Forest Service employees are approaching the new Juneau Forestry Sciences Laboratory from opposite directions. Each group, about a dozen people each, are carrying a 1,000-pound yellow cedar log carved into a house post. In front of the lab, each of the 10-foot posts are set down, pivoted on the bottom end, lifted up on a mounting pedestal, and then pushed upright into place. The dedication of the new lab on Saturday afternoon was a mix of the traditional and the modern, with more of an emphasis on tradition as participants danced and paid respect and honored the Akwan, who have traditionally owned and occupied the land around Auk Bay. It included the Carver's Dance, which marks the relinquishment of title and ownership of the totems. The modern part of the dedication came at the very end, with a ribbon stretched across the entrance of the lab and a half a dozen pair of scissors. Robert Mangold is the acting director of the Pacific Northwest Research Station, which is essentially a group of 11 labs in the region.
Well, we're delighted to be here on the ancestral grounds of the Akwan, and they've been very helpful and instrumental in the design of the building and supporting us. We really appreciate their help as well.
Mangold says the 12,000-square-foot Juneau lab on the edge of Auk Lake and adjacent to the University of Alaska Southeast campus is about medium in size for their facilities. Construction on the $10 million building started only 3 years ago, but it has been as much as 60 years in the making, with the lab's 20 to 30 employees recently working in at least three different facilities on a temporary basis.
It's a tremendous building, and it really offers the kind of lab facilities that we've never really had before.
Paul Hennen is a forest pathologist with the station. Contractors use stone and yellow cedar siding obtained in southeast Alaska, while the interior features hickory trim. Upstairs include the offices, while downstairs is devoted to the lab spaces where the botanists, hydrologists, entomologists, and other scientists can work. Hennen and his colleagues in other disciplines will work together to tackle everything from forest health to human use of the forest, watershed and young growth management, and climate change issues.
We try and address and solve some broad, complicated questions. And one thing we found is that one narrow discipline isn't really enough to address those. So it's very common, at least in our experience, that we team up, kind of mix our disciplines together and are able to take on some broader problems that way.
The new building will also house the Alaska Coastal Rainforest Center, and its location next to UAS should foster collaboration with faculty and students on research. Other building construction details include triple glazed windows, radiant heating, and a ground source heating and cooling system for energy efficiency. But the house posts will be the first thing that any visitor sees. Master carver Wayne Price of Haines says both posts are carved from the same log of yellow cedar found on Chichikov Island. He says he started on them full-time after the new year and finished just hours before getting on the ferry for Juneau. Price says the Eagle Post features a mud shark of the Wushkaton, and the Raven Post includes a dog salmon picked by Auk elders.
I am just very glad to see the house posts in place. They look a lot better where they belong, and I'm glad to have seen all the people that have turned out today for this big event, and thank the Forest Service for supporting the native culture and the art. And now that we have these here, all the young people have a constant reminder of the people that were here from the very get-go. So, and that makes it, that ties it all together, and that there's only one race now, and that's the human race. And on we go.
Scientists moved into the new lab about a month ago, and they've already started work. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Finally this morning, a correction. The date of Sea Alaska's Corporation's annual meeting was incorrectly listed during a story that aired on this newscast yesterday. The meeting takes place June 22nd. The deadline for most voting is June 20th. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Now here's a look at Sitka Zone weather. Today it's going to be sunny with highs around 60, southeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour in the morning. Tonight, increasing clouds with lows around 41. Thursday, partly cloudy with highs around 56. Friday, increasing clouds, highs around 59. And through Memorial Day weekend, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain, highs 56 to 62. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.